Energy Espresso stands as a captivating gateway, merging the pulsating world of energy innovations with the deeply ingrained culture of coffee. Every episode serves as a fresh brew of ideas, featuring thought-provoking discussions on the latest in energy technologies, sustainability efforts, and the global transition towards greener alternatives. We invite energy experts, innovators, and thought leaders to share their insights and visions for a sustainable future. Energy Espresso is more than just a podcast. It's a community for those passionate about making a difference and those eager to learn more about the energy that powers our world and the coffee that fuels our days. So, join us on this journey and let's discover together the fascinating intersection of energy solutions and coffee culture, one episode at a time. The Energy Espresso podcast is brought to you by the following sponsors. Power is complicated, especially during the energy transition. Navigating the process can be confusing, expensive, and difficult to manage. AMP's diversified contract power generation fleet delivers fully managed power with mobile assets ranging from 35 megawatts through 2.5 megawatts, with the objective to provide a utility-like experience. Others call their service leased power or rental power. AMP refers to our service as turnkey contract power. If your organization is in need of temporary or long-term mobile generation for completions, drilling, production, compression, or in-field electrification projects, look no further. Our team is here to deliver excellence. Innovative power delivered so you can focus on business. Contact our team today to learn more. Let's talk power and get amped.
Well, good morning, everybody, and thanks for joining the Energy Espresso. My name is Dave Bosco. We are live, actually, from the Thrive Conference in Houston, Texas, and glad you're able to tune into the show this week. Today, we've got Matt Detmar with Detmar Logistics on our show, and we're going to be talking about Matt's journey with starting up his company, kind of, you know, where he came from, how he got to getting into this business, and we're also going to talk about some really awesome coffee that we have today, Matt.
Excellent.
So just want to give a shout out to Dichotomy Coffee in Waco, Texas. So my wife and kids and I, we were up there on a family event this weekend, Matt. It was actually my wife's grandmother's 75th birthday. Shout out to G-Ma Linda. And we stopped by Dichotomy, and they've got this coffee that's called Apex Coffee Roasters. So it's associated with their family. Had a little bit of technical difficulty because we're mobile today.
Right.
The coffee machine did not want to cooperate, so we're going to actually just be trying the Oversteer, which is a Honduras Colombian blend, and do that really quick and then get into the show. Sound good?
Sounds like a plan.
All right, man. So I'm going to go ahead and get you a cup here, Matt.
All right. Thank you.
And this is actually, this is kind of an Italian way, in my experience, to have coffee. So you put a little lemon zest in it and essentially just peeled off lemon peel to go ahead and put it in with the coffee. So cheers.
Cheers.
Let me know what you think.
You got it. That's good. The lemon peel definitely smoothens it out a lot.
Yeah, yeah, that's a different dimension.
It does.
Awesome.
Yeah, very tasty. Fantastic. So thank you.
I guess we energized?
I'm energized.
Excellent.
I'm ready to go.
Sweet. So we'll go ahead and move this here to the side. So, Matt, want to open up with you kind of talking to me about your journey, where you got started, and, you know, we'll transition into your business, Detmar Logistics. We want to start there.
Okay, excellent. Well, first off, Dave, thanks for having me on the Energy Espresso podcast this morning. Thanks for the wonderful coffee and the recommendation on the on the citrus peel. That's a great great recommendation. So very, very glad to be here at the Thrive Conference. What a great setting. What a great event. Again, just overall happy to be here. So, yeah, really just starting of, you know, the inception of Detmar Logistics. It's really the only thing I've ever done in my career. So I was getting out of school, and my dad, growing up, as I got into middle school, high school, a successful entrepreneur, was more focused on different businesses, more focused on insurance, payroll, HR, outsourcing, things like that, and kind of grew up in that business with him, and to an extent, and you know, I was getting out of school, I was looking for other things to do. I'd worked in that business, it didn't intrigue me as much, so I was just kind of looking at other things to do, and I always wanted to start my own thing, so him and I started talking, and you know, he was very beneficial and helpful in helping me guide in different ways, and then, again, I was just wanting to start something, and so this is about 2012, right. And I was living in San Antonio, and the Eagleford was hot and heavy. And he had a friend on the south side of town who had a waste company and had some sand trucks, and was looking to divest those and focus more on his waste business. And we looked at that and looked at a few different things, and you know, ultimately ended up finding some different trucks and trailers after doing some due diligence for about 6 months. And you know, he helped me with the initial financing of the units. We bought three trucks and trailers, and then again, it was 2012, so everything was going really well. So banker mm-hmm. comes to me and says, "Hey, we'll do two more trucks and trailers." So we had five trucks and trailers, and then about 6 months later, that banker moved to a different bank that specialized in the SBA loans.
Okay.
And so he comes to me and says, "Hey, we'll refinance your first five trucks and trailers. We'll do five more. We'll bundle it under an SBA note, a 10-year note, slap the personal guarantee on you, and buy out your dad's portion and give you 100%. And so my dad at the time was like, "Yeah, please take this debt off my balance sheet." So, you know, I gladly did. I was, you know, 24 at the time, and you know, not really knowing what I was getting into, but just kind of wanted to take a jump off the deep end. And so we did that, and this was going into 2014 at the time, and we were doing some work. We're a small frac company, a small operator doing vertical wells, and things were going pretty well. And everybody knows what happens really at the end of 14 with OPEC flooding the market yep. and oil prices nosediving. So, you know, we dropped our sand trailers, and because we were hauling frac sand, so I don't know if I clarified that, but so we dropped those sand trailers, and we started moving freight and just a few other commodities, and it was not a good market to be in. And
sure.
Just about the time we're about to run out of money, started just going to all the different sand mines in the state of Texas, and just so happened the last one I cold called on happened to be the beginning of a lot of fruitful relationships that are still intact today from a customer side, but also people who have been on our team and been very instrumental to the growth of our company. So that little spurt of, "Hey, we're about to run out of cash," and you know, the desperation of, "Hey, we have to go find something," turned out to be a really big benefit for us. So
yeah,
and this was going into 2016, coming out of the big lull of 15, and you know, between 16 and 18, we really rode the wave of the of completions activity kind of skyrocketing through that time. So to cut a long story short, between 2016 and 2018, you know, we had 10 trucks and trailers. I had some subcontractors to put our fleet about 20. So we started 2016 at about 20 trucks, and then by the end of 2018, we were up to 330 trucks.
Wow.
So we experienced massive growth. We bought a lot of company assets. That was something we wanted to do to help us, you know, control our business, but you know, put more skin in the game, and just again be able to operate our business more efficiently. So took on a lot of debt to do that, and then again, 18 was great. It's a good year coming out of that. 19 was a tough year in general for not only on the completion side, but also the freight market. So,
sure.
You know, of course, we're in frac sand logistics and more so on the trucking side, the asset side. But, you know, people don't understand is the freight market and the sand logistics market correlate pretty well. And once one slow down, then one starts to slow down as well. So 2019 had the most bankruptcies on record as a year for the trucking business.
Really?
It was a very tough year in the sand logistics space. I mean, pricing nosedived in freight in general, and again, massive amount of bankruptcies. We saw a lot of competitors exit the space via 11 or Chapter 7. So it was a scary time. And then things were kind of starting to pick up and going into 2020. And, you know, we all know what happened there. So once COVID hit, we went through some scary times, especially, you know, a lot of the debt we took on being personally guaranteed by me. And so it was a very difficult time, but we leveraged a lot of partnerships to keep our trucks running, our trucks busy. We weren't making money, of course, but we were able to keep people employed.
Cover overhead.
Yep. We were able to we didn't execute any layoffs during 2020, actually. So wow. we had a very strong team. We were able to ride the wave. I'm very proud of our team and what we were able to accomplish during that time to move out of that. So going out of 2020, you know, we were kind of looking at what is going to differentiate us. I mean, we're a trucking company, and being in the sand logistics space, you know, we saw a lot of evolution just from the last mile perspective of, you know, especially from 2016, just the evolution of Sandbox and PropX, just different delivery systems. And changing the way that last mile was done. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we started investing into different types of trailers to be able to work with these systems and really try to go to where, because we own the assets, right? So switching up our business model to run the full last mile, working with these different storage systems to be agnostic, really, to what type of trailer and what type of system we're doing, but to be able to provide the power to do so. And so, you know, looking at that being, you know, our initial competitive advantage, we started looking at how we can differentiate the tractor and how we can look at helping our customers' sustainability goals, reducing emissions, but also in the long run, lowering costs and stabilizing costs. Because if you know anything about trucking and logistics, even the completion markets, there's significant spikes in pricing and significant lulls. So trying to fix it at a very sustainable pricing for our customers. So we started looking at electrification and also alternative fuels. And really during that time, we tested. We bought some CNG tractors. We tested some electric powertrains. And ultimately, what we decided on and where we're at today, we decided that the best method for sustainable fuels and to help with, you know, consistent pricing for our customers would be to switch to natural gas powered trucks.
Okay.
So when we did that for, again, that's what we believe is to be the cleanest fuel on the market today and for years to come. But also the pricing of the fuel compared to diesel has been consistently flat over time if you look at the peaks and valleys of diesel versus natural gas.
Sure.
But not only that, but being able to leverage renewable natural gas as well. So, you know, and how that works is renewable natural gas is collected off landfill, dairy farms, and
essentially bio waste, or waste period that we usually put in a trash heap, and they have to manage the, you know, organic compounds breaking down, and
right.
gas is, you know, leveraged at that point. It's got a lower, you know, methane number or calorific value, but
it's got
some, you know, some emissions benefits probably, right?
Exactly, yeah. So if you look at the carbon intensity score of the gas we're getting today in our compression station, I'll kind of go over that path, but if you look at diesel being a carbon intensity of 100, our renewable natural gas is helping us get to a carbon intensity of 45.
Wow.
So significant reductions.
That's actually, I mean, Matt, that's pretty huge.
Yep. So one, I mean, we're after lowering emissions and we're after lowering costs.
Okay.
So where we've done, what we've done today and developed, again, we trialed some CNG powertrains, electric powertrains, and the first five units we bought it was a disaster. It was there was no technicians in the Permian because that we're focused more so on the Permian today.
Sure.
The few technicians that were there, especially at some dealerships, to get work done was like pulling teeth.
Yeah.
And so
there's a lot of trucks in the Permian, and
absolutely.
Know, you know, in my experience, it's you're waiting weeks on end.
Exactly.
Because there's just not enough people, right?
Right. So, you know, we looked at it inside and out, looked at the specs too, because CNG trucks have historically been overpowered. So we were able to come up with a spec that's able to pull sand and have our drivers be comfortable with the power of the truck, because that's always been one of the cogs in the wheels as far as CNG trucks is being underpowered. So, you know, to our benefit, again, we spec'd out the powertrains and the engines to be optimal to pull a full load of sand. And, you know, with overweight permits not going on interstate roads, but also with CNG, we're able to carry an extra ton, which most people don't know. So
that just because of the weight difference with diesel versus natural gas?
Correct, yes.
That's interesting.
So we're able to see a little bit higher payload in our CNG tractors compared to our diesels, which is nice. But ultimately, you know, that was one of the things is, Can it haul 86,000 pounds, 86,000 being with overweight permits not being on interstate? And we've had no problem. And you know, we partnered with a maintenance company who does CNG maintenance around the lower 48 on thousands of CNG trucks. So we brought them in house, and then also we just commissioned a compression station, a partnership with Chevron.
Okay.
So we've been working on that for about a year and a half to as we're going into this, we wanted a good station builder, but also a good partner on renewable natural gas as well. Okay. So that's what's helping us achieve the CI score from 100 down to 45 when it comes to our renewable natural gas. So where we're at today, from our fleet, again, we're Permian Basin focused at the moment. We are looking at different basins as we grow, but as we stand today, we do have a full dedicated CNG shop, about 15 acres of property, a dedicated compression station, and by the end of the month, we'll have 70 CNG tractors in service, fueled by RNG in the Permian Basin.
Wow, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah,
Matt. Couple of questions.
Yeah.
First off, what made you wake up one morning and go, you know what, I want to try out an electric drive truck and change kind of your, you know, have that strategy shift, for lack of a better term, going from, you know, traditional diesel over the road tractors.
Yep.
And, you know, look, I mean, at least, you know, my understanding is trucking is highly commoditized.
Right.
Right. It's can traditionally be a dog-eat-dog world.
Absolutely.
Where you're actually, like, doing bids, saying, hey, who's the lowest, right? There's no perception of value add, because everything is, you can get it from point A to point B.
Mm-hmm.
What was really your catalyst to make that decision to go ahead and swap over, test out the initial technology you did?
Yep.
Because, you know, in all fairness, with new tech, you're going to be on the bleeding edge of bleeding edge.
Right.
Right? Which is... you know, kudos to you, because you never figure out what the right tech is until you try it.
Right.
So I guess I know that's a loaded question, but I wanted you to kind of unpack for me.
And specifically at the time, this is around 2020, and you know, ESG, which is still hot today, but at that time it was very hot. And I mean, but there was also a lot of movement to e-fleets, tier 4 dual fuel, with the cost of natural gas in the Permian Basin specifically. So studying that, and says, hey, well, you know, there's got to be a way that we can look at kind of shifting to natural gas as well. And then at that time, there's a company out of Austin called Hylion. It's still in business today. They're focused more on power generation today. They're developing a powertrain that ran off natural gas that used a generator to charge a battery pack. So it essentially had... It was a hybrid with a full electric powertrain. So think of it like an e-frac on wheels.
Yeah, yeah. And or I mean, maybe Toyota Prius.
Toyota
also
Prius,
kind of
yeah,
setup,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Operating that engine in its peak efficiency.
Yeah.
Lowest, you know, fuel consumption, best emissions profile.
Yeah.
Makes total sense.
So, and we were looking at that, and this is around 2020, and then you know, what really happened over between 2020 and now. Is the cost of battery metals skyrocketed, the cost of supply skyrocketed, and then technology didn't advance the way that everyone expected it to. So, you know, with that being said, is, you know, that program essentially got moved to the side for a bit. A lot of it had to do with freight pricing being the way it is. We're technically in a freight recession today. Cost of capital is
it's high.
It's high right now.
It's very high.
And then also, you know, with what people don't talk very much about electric tractors is the payload loss because the weight of the battery. So,
and what's the delta typically versus what a, you know, electric truck versus a, you know, CNG powered truck versus a diesel truck? Is there like 5,000 pounds, 10,000 pounds?
Probably about 6,000 to 8,000 pounds.
Okay. Yeah. So that's significant.
That's significant, yeah. Especially when, you know, we're hauling sand, and sand is sold by the ton.
Yeah.
So that makes a significant difference. Payload has a lot to do with what we do when it comes to efficiencies, which, you know, you've seen a lot of people try to continue to move forward to higher payloads to deliver sand. So we had to take that into mind as well, because, you know, at the end of the day, we're putting more trucks on the road, even if they're, you know, CNG or electric, then we're adding more emissions, right?
Yep.
So it kind of was counterintuitive to what we're doing. And that's ultimately how we landed on natural gas, because, one, we were able to source RNG, so putting the best package together we can from a well-to-wheel emissions standpoint, getting to lower emissions and lower costs. And, you know, again, this is really phase one of where we're going. We're looking at continuing this growth, especially with the opportunities we see in the Permian Basin in the years to come with natural gas takeaway, and taking advantage of that for our benefit and for our customers as well.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
I want to focus on the well-to-wheel emissions piece of this, because, listen, I appreciate you using that term. That's something that's usually drowned out in our industry, in all fairness. And, you know, looking at the holistic approach as to the emissions and the full, you know, round trip of equipment getting out on location, services being delivered, you know, we got to start looking at this in a big picture format,
yep.
Right? Because I feel in our industry, it's about controlling the narrative.
Right.
And right now, like what you're doing actually is addressing a really big piece of getting on-road emissions, you know, reduced, right?
Right.
And there's, I would imagine, some, you know, benefits also to, you know, leveraging gas that might otherwise be flared.
Exactly.
Flaring, in all fairness, it's down, you know, in a really big way in the Permian, but
right.
Still the optics around that do exist. How are you sharing with your customers, you know, hey, Mr. Customer, you know, I reduced your emissions by XYZ today, or saved X amount of CO2e equivalent emissions. Are you doing anything like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's something we provide to our customers as often as they'd like.
Okay.
Really, we do it on a job-to-job basis. We do it on a quarterly basis as well. You know, we use EPA guidelines more so to help us quantify our emissions. You know, there's so many different reporting frameworks, as I'm sure you know.
Yep.
So that's kind of constantly ever evolving. So it's something that we're staying on top of, but you know, especially on the RNG side, there's kind of constantly evolving frameworks of what's what, where's the emissions coming from. So we're able to give them a really good idea as far as emissions are reducing, and it's pretty substantial. I think this year we'll in our fleet we'll, you know, eliminate close to 1.5 million gallons of diesel.
Wow!
So from a trucking perspective, that's really high, and it's, you know, when you compare it to any fleet, I know those aren't as big a numbers compared to what the need fleet, but however, from a trucking standpoint, eliminating that much diesel is substantial. So
yeah,
we're very proud of that.
It's a cumulative kind of total you're adding
right.
up across the full life cycle of that well.
Exactly.
And that's that's awesome, man. What have you seen when you've made this, you know, strategy shift? You're going to more sustainable solutions for
yep.
trucking and transportation. What has that done for you from a customer base? Are you seeing that you're getting access to folks? Because I appreciate you first earlier bringing up partnerships.
Yep.
Business partnerships are absolutely critical.
Absolutely.
It doesn't work if it's transactional.
Exactly.
So have you been able to get longer term contracts, you know, more preferred, you know, relationships, I would say, with customers that trucking companies otherwise might not usually get in a transportation situation?
Absolutely. Yeah. And of course, you know, that's, you know, we definitely try to leverage that the best we can, you know.
Yeah.
And again, you know, our ultimate goal is to be fair to our customers and help them maintain and reduce their costs over time. So yeah, we've seen a lot of good partnerships come out of that, and they're continuing to grow. We're very excited about it. Again, it's capital intensive, so you know, the growth that we're going to be experiencing over the next few years is going to take a lot of capital. So partnerships are very crucial.
Yep.
When it comes to those types of investments, as I'm sure you guys are well aware of.
Absolutely. What have you seen, if anything, in total cost of ownership reduction? You know, because at the end of the day, right, you move to a sustainable solution, it's got to pencil out,
right?
Not only for your customer, but for you as well. Are you seeing any benefits versus the typical over-the-road tractors with like a, you know, Cummins Caterpillar Detroit diesel engine in it that just runs diesel fuel?
Yes. So especially with our compression station that just came online. So we're, you know, we have a very good pricing agreement on that as far as, you know, the work we've done to make sure that we set the station and the throughput of the RNG as well. So we can be able to utilize that as well as, you know, our RINs and our alternative fuel tax credits as well. Mm-hmm. So that really helps us. Then that helped us make the decision on moving to these tractors. It's because we were able to show a plan that did provide, you know, a decent lower cost of ownership compared to a diesel asset. So then again, that's what we're trying to go after, because as I'm sure you know, I mean, everybody wants to lower emissions until it comes time to see the bill, right?
That's correct. So that's correct.
So you know, we wanted to make sure that we were able to attack both angles in this approach. So that's
absolutely fantastic, man. What do you, you know, Your business has evolved, using your words. Where do you see kind of you moving next? Because I'm a fan of the Wayne Gretzky analogy, right? You know, you're never looking at where the puck is right in front of you. You're always looking at where's the puck going to be, mm-hmm. you know, 5 years down the road. Where do you see your business, the transition, using these, you know, more sustainable solutions, you know, affecting your business in the future? And is there any other technologies that you're looking at that makes sense that, you know, you're keeping your pulse on the market, say the least, to consider additional kit that you might add onto your equipment?
Absolutely. So you know, where I see us moving, I mean, we're looking at customized compression options with operators right now, using their gas, partnering with their midstream partners as well.
Okay.
To lower our costs even further. So that is where we're kind of taking the next step now. You know, we're also being very, we are in the sand logistics space now. You know, we're getting into hauling a few different things, but sand logistics has been our bread and butter for a long time. It's going to continue to be our bread and butter.
Okay.
So we're also constantly looking at the change in the movement from dry sand to wet sand, okay. and how that's going to play an effect in how we deploy our last mile systems.
Got it.
So we're looking at that and how that's going to affect trucking over time, because there's new methods of open air sand piles that's you know, causing, or and it's, you know, a lot of it's trying to shift more towards daytime deliveries, where this is, you know, frac duty runs 24/7. So trying, nice. You know, so people are. We're seeing a shift to that, to where if that continues to move, that could, you know, potentially decouple the trucking from the sand logistics, because you have an excess amount of storage on location, so you can be able to focus more on daylight deliveries. So we're looking at that and how that would affect our purchases on tractors over the next few years as well.
Okay.
But ultimately, you know, we're still focusing on getting cheaper gas and working with our operators to use their gas as far as, you know, getting more flitter mitigation, mm-hmm. But to even further reduce our cost. So that's kind of the direction that we're headed as far as our next steps. Very proud of what we've done today and where we're at today, because we've been able to prove this business model. So now we're, you know, looking at how we can do, rinse and repeat, but duplicate.
Yeah.
And duplicate and become more efficient as we continue to duplicate the model.
Absolutely. No, that's fantastic. What are you seeing in the, you know, in conversations I end up having with, you know, E&P service companies, you know, customer groups in the market? Hydrogen comes up,
yeah.
Right? You know, and, yeah. And look, you know, I think the hydrogen, you know, whether you're talking about blue, green, gold, white, you know, it's all the colors of the
all
rainbow,
the colors, yeah.
Right? do you see that as being something folks are asking you about, you know, inquiring, hey, is this an option for us in the future?
It's definitely something that, I mean, we've seen in the forefront, especially since we've started studying clean transportation. You know, we've been studying clean transportation for about the past 3 to 4 years.
Okay.
So that has been a very hot topic in clean transportation for a while. The issue has always been the supply of hydrogen.
Yeah.
So that is something that we're watching very closely,
okay.
And how that can continue to evolve and make its way to our application. So we are studying different, you know, hydrogen fuel cell technologies, and you know, we've looked at these over time. Really what we're looking at is it's a kind of a chicken and egg deal, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, everyone has said this, that's been the fuel of the future for the past 20, 30 years. So it's always been the fuel of the future.
Absolutely.
So I do think it's starting to get a lot of legs.
Yeah.
And starting to make some great strides. So it's something that we're watching, and you know, our executive group's been discussing and focusing on as well. You know, we don't see it in the next year, two,
sure,
maybe. But it's something we are paying close attention to.
So it's more of if this is more of a limitation on like a supply, mm-hmm, of actual hydrogen.
Exactly. Yeah.
A, the cost has to come down.
Cost. Yeah.
You know, it's got to be economical at
right.
the end of the day, unless your customer just, pardon me, really wants it and they're willing to pay more money for it for that. You know, and we got to see what those emissions reductions look like.
Exactly.
Hydrogen typically requires 3x the amount of molecule versus natural gas.
Right.
So there's a volume play there also, right?
Exactly.
No, it's interesting.
Yeah. I think the last time we kind of saw the, you know, equivalent price to a diesel gallon equivalent is a year or two ago, it was around $10 a gallon. So it has to make fiscal sense as well. As again, that's why we've been studying this to a T, to make sure that lower emissions does make fiscal sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No, it's your business is fascinating, man, and your story too, and the fact that, you know, you guys are pushing and differentiating yourselves in the market, right? Like, I feel especially, you know, in the oil and gas space, transportation space, business in general, being able to separate yourself from the pack and go, look, here at the bottom, you know, bottom line is here is our value proposition. Why you want to choose us, why this is good for you as our customer, for us as a business too, right? Because your partners, they want you to be in business long-term, be able to pay your employees during hard times as you experience, you know, and keeping people on during a tough business cycle. We have a really bad rap in our industry of using people as a means to an end.
Right.
And I think these technologies and different ways of approaching services actually drive more sustainability for employees, right?
Right, exactly.
And they want to come and work for a company that they know it's not these, you know, ups and downs that you see in the market. There's that levelized kind of, they know where their job is going to be and their paycheck's coming from.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah, and that's what, you know, and that's what we've tried to focus on being, you know, going through from 15 downturn, and, 19 and 20. So, I mean, that's really how we've tried to structure our business, especially, you know, taking on a lot of debt.
Yeah.
Early on in the business, and you know, seeing what a downturn can do to you during those times. So we really
can build some grit.
It can. so we really try to focus on having, you know, a sustainable business. You know, not in the emission side. Yes, in the emission side, but a sustainable business model.
Yeah.
It's gives people a good, you know, sense of, you know, a comfort knowing, hey, this is a good, stable business to be at. This is an exciting business to work with. This is a growing business. This is something I'm proud to be a part of.
Awesome.
And we've developed a fantastic team. I can't speak highly enough of our team. They've been a big reason of why we've been successful in this deployment. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I know we got maybe, you know, a couple minutes left. I just wanted to ask you, you've got young man or young lady coming out of high school, going into college. They want to start their career. What would some advice be for that young person that wants to get into the energy space, transportation space, you know, figure out, do they want to own their own business?
Uh-huh.
You know, what would your advice be to somebody who wants to, you know, kind of choose their own path and see if they want to get into a gig for themselves?
Know accounting very well.
Details matter.
Details matter. Cash in, cash out matters. Cash flow, I mean, it's particularly in this business, understanding, you know, when you get to, especially a business that's low margin, if we're talking transportation logistics, it's, you know, it's a low margin business. So being able to understand your costs to a T, what cash is coming in, what cash is going out, making sure you're building a sustainable business as far as from a cash flow perspective, that is very important. Also being able to understand how to utilize debt and equity to grow your business. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's something that, I wasn't very studious in college. So, just kind of tried to get by. And then as I got out, I'm like, oh, I got to do something. So, I better sharpen up. But, That was something that early on in my career and starting this business, I didn't quite understand, but it's something I had to focus on and understand quickly.
Okay.
So that would be something that, again, I would focus on as far as from a studying perspective. And then, you know, going in, I mean, you know, selecting different majors, things like that, you know, I was in business management, so that was definitely beneficial to me in developing the culture I wanted in a business. Ultimately, it's, you know, if you got to find out, you know, what you're interested in, what opportunities are out there too, because there might be opportunities that you might not have that much interest in, but if this is something you really want to do. Especially good opportunities, I mean, you kind of got to seize them. And then once you seize them, you have to constantly stay ahead of where you think that market's going to go and talk to people in that industry and just develop a good understanding with the direction it's going. And you got to stay on top of it. And so that's, if I had to give just a short little advice, that'd be it, I guess.
I like it, man. And it seems like, you know, for at least for you, you took a little bit of risk,
right?
You kind of, for lack of a better term, bet on the come line and said, you know what? We're going to see what happens. This is a interesting market that we might be able to get some traction in, and looks like it's worked out really well for you, man.
Yeah. And we're hoping it continues to do so. So, but we're very excited. We're very proud of what we built, and excited to see what the future has in store.
Awesome. Well, Matt, I really appreciate you taking the time to come on the podcast today.
Absolutely.
It's a pleasure speaking with you. You've got a fascinating story and an awesome business. I'm really excited to see what the future holds for you, brother.
I appreciate that, Dave. Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been a blast, and enjoyed the conversation. And, looking forward to this great event.
Awesome.
All right,
Dave. Appreciate it, bud.
Thank you so much.
All right. Appreciate everybody joining the Energy Espresso podcast today. Tune in for our next episode and look forward to chatting with you and having some awesome coffee soon.